you that this is your first time to Crossroads, I am not Pastor Dan Proctor, our lead pastor. He's away, along with Miss Denise, his wife, and I am Rob Hall, the executive pastor here at Crossroads, so I get the opportunity today to bring God's word to you. We're going to stick with the theme of serving. In fact, with Christmas coming up, you know, we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, the ultimate servant of all people. And in December, we also have the opportunity with Anthony Stocking, something we're going to share with you here by the end of the message today. And then also every Christmas, we do a special Christmas offering that goes toward a special project. And this year we have another people group that represents about 12 different languages that we're going to be telling you more about in the coming weeks. But I would encourage you just to be praying about that and how you can get involved in helping the Word of God to a way that we can serve. Get into the hands of people that don't have a copy of the Word of God because it's not in their language. We want to get it there. So what I want to do, though, is as a quick reminder, we've been talking about serving for the last several weeks. Pastor Dan went through, you know, why we are here, when that purpose is to serve. He talked about how we're uniquely created. All of us have different abilities and things to use for God in order to serve other people. But I'm going to take you to an interesting book here this morning. I'm going to go ahead and tell you where to go now because it might take you a minute to find it. If you have the Pew Bibles, it's going to be page 469, but it's the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, okay? Even if you're not regularly going to church, people know of the book of Jonah. At least they heard the story about a man being swallowed by a fish. But it's interesting because Jonah was a servant. He was a prophet during the reign of Jeroboam in the Old Testament. And Jonah was used of God, and what we can see from the nation of Israel under the reign of Jeroboam is they were, the nation of Israel became prosperous. They were doing really well under his reign, and Jonah was there as a part of that, and God was using him. God called Jonah to do something very interesting, very distinct for that time period, because from what we can tell, he was one of the earliest prophets that God ever used to try to go to a Gentile nation, and that would be the nation of Nineveh. So he asks Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah runs from the opportunity to serve God. He goes in a completely different direction and winds up in a place he never intended to be. Anybody ever did that? You were traveling somewhere, you thought you were going one way, and you wound up somewhere completely different. Only five of us. Okay, so I've been there. You wind up going in places you never intended to go. But if we're all here with these unique purposes to serve, we've been gifted to serve, we've been created to serve, serving should be a natural desire of our life. And this is why. If you think about it, Jesus Christ is the ultimate servant. He is our example. In fact, the Bible says, I love what Paul says to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 2. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, God doesn't leave us wondering about what that mind would be like. In fact, we saw, you know, through the accounts of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give a testimony of the life of Jesus as he lived with them and the way that he was. And Jesus was a servant, and he told his disciples that those that are going to follow him ought to be also servants. Real quick, look at these verses here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 37. He says, "Then the righteous will answer him." Jesus is speaking, and he's telling the group here about what's going to happen when they stand before the Lord. And he says, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? You were, you know, thirsty and gave you drink." He goes on to say, "When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And look at his response. The king will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you have done it to the least or one of the least of these brothers of mine, you have done it for who? For me." He says, hey, if you're going to really want to serve me, you better be serving other people. If you see a need, you want to meet that need. Paul reiterates this in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Look what he says here. "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry," he didn't just say, hey, if somebody's hungry, he says, now if it's your enemy that's hungry, what do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, what do? Give him a drink. "For in doing so, you'll heap coals." Now, don't do it because you want to see them suffer. That's not what he's saying here. Okay? Side note, he's telling them to go ahead and help your enemies, show them the love and the grace of God, because that will help them to see who Christ is. But look what Jesus says here, or what we see in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, speaking of Jesus. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? That is the very mind of Jesus Christ, and to give his life a ransom for many. So if I am going to let the mind of Christ be in me, then that means I must serve. And we've talked about that over the last several weeks. But here's a reality. And it says this in your notes. Serving should be a natural desire in the life of all believers, but sometimes we can get burnt out and even run from opportunities to serve. Has anybody ever felt burnt out in doing anything in life? Okay, we get there, right? We can get there if we're not careful. And there's some reasons why I think we see here in the book of Jonah, why Jonah, instead of jumping at an opportunity to say, hey, here's an entire nation that does not recognize God. God wants me to go and impact them and reach them with the gospel. He wants me to go and share with them and turn them away from their evilness and their idols to God, but yet he runs the other way. Was it because of the culture that Jonah was living in as Israel was prospering at that time and things were going good economically, politically, that he was like, hey, I'm really comfortable where I'm at. I don't want to go there. Let me get away as far away from God and what you're asking me to do as possible. I don't know. But we know that that was some of the things going on in the culture. And so what led Jonah to run? And how can we learn from Jonah in our own lives as we've been called to serve, as we have opportunities to serve, just like Anthony Stocking? You know, maybe you came in this morning and you're like, oh, great, another thing to do for somebody else. And we can get that way. Maybe you were on the way today and somebody was in line in front of you at, I wouldn't say Dunkin', because you should be getting coffee at the coffee house here. It's way better. But, you know, if you're in the line and somebody's taking a little bit longer at the register in front of you and you're getting all aggravated and frustrated, yet when you have a little bit maybe extra time to talk to somebody in that line, it'd be an encouragement, be a blessing, look for opportunities. But yet we get frustrated, we get burnt out from wanting to really look at people through those different lenses like God sees things. And we make those decisions like Jonah, and we find ourselves in places we never intended to be. If you really don't know the story of Jonah, I would encourage you this week, it's only a few chapters, go and read it. Read the book of Jonah. It won't take you long. You can do it, honestly, in probably a day. But if you know anything about the book of Jonah, he was asked to go somewhere. He didn't want to go. He decides to go somewhere else, and he winds up on a complete detour, getting swallowed by a fish. All right? Not the place he ever would have thought you could be. I mean, who would have thought, I might get swallowed by a fish today? Most people think I might eat a fish, but he gets swallowed by a fish. All because he's going a way that God was not intending for him to go. So when we avoid serving God, sometimes we find ourselves in places we didn't want to be. That's where Jonah is. And as a result of his running, he finds himself in a very lonely, very dark place. So no one wants to end up away from God, but yet the reality is we all find ourselves many times in that lonely, dark place. So how can we make sure that we remain involved in serving? If we've been created to serve, we're supposed to serve, how can we remain serving on a regular basis? I think we're going to see three things. I'm going to take you to Jonah chapter 2, so hopefully you're there. I'm going to show you three things that we see from Jonah's life as an example to help us to remain serving. Because that's the mind of Christ. That's what I'm supposed to have. The first thing is this, and I told the first service, I'm not going to give you guys anything mind-blowing and profound this morning. Okay? You're welcome. You should be able to take it with you, all right? And you should be able to apply it to your life. It's basic, but sometimes the most basic things are the things we neglect first. So hang on to these. The first one is this. We see it with Jonah chapter 2. The first thing that I can do to remain in serving is talk to God. Let's talk to God. What does that look like? Look with me at Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of a fish. You can't tell me that God only wants you to pray in a special place. Because I'm pretty sure the belly of the fish was not Jonah's prayer closet. So he seeks God out and he begins to pray. In verse 2 it said, he said, I called to the Lord out of my distress and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and all your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast away from your sight. Yet I will look again to to your holy temple. Jonah looks and he begins to talk to God. He begins to pray. You know, how can you be led by God if you're not talking to God? If you don't have a regular prayer life. And a prayer life doesn't mean that you're just spending time in the morning or at night, you know, set aside from God. Paul tells the church to pray without ceasing, meaning that our prayer life and our communication with God should be ongoing throughout the day. When you are in that line at the store or in the drive-thru and you're a little frustrated because there's more people there than you want or they're moving a little slower than you'd like, why aren't you praying? Why aren't you praying for the opportunity of maybe what you can do while you're there? God, help me to see that I don't run from the opportunity that you might want me to be in, but run to it. Help me to not be like Jonah, but to be like you, Jesus. You see, Jonah intended to be in Tarshish, but instead he found himself swallowed up in the whale of a great fish. Or, well, a hole in a great fish. Some people think it's a whale. Who knows? Who cares? He got swallowed. It was a major detour, right? He was on a boat, thought he was going to get in one place, and he wound up in a fish. So, if you really don't know the story and you're like, how does that happen? Go read chapter 1. But he was there because he was running from God, and God created the fish to swallow up Jonah to get a hold of him. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that there's times when we run from God and his guidance and we find ourselves in places that we did not intend to be in. I remember in high school growing up, I was in the FCA at Spruce Creek High School, and my coach, who was the organizer of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes there, I remember he often said this, and I didn't hear it a lot until I was around him, but he would say that sin will take you farther than you wanted to go and cost you more than you wanted to pay. Have you heard that? And it's true. It's true. When we don't, anything that we do that is outside, and we know for the most part right from wrong, but when we choose not to do what we know is right, according to the Bible, James says this in James 4:17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it's sin. It's sin. When we know what we ought to do and we choose not to purposely do it, the Bible says it's sin. That's pride. That's you rising up above your, you know, others and saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I know it's the right thing to do, but I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it. The Bible says, no, that's not good. That's unrighteousness. That's sin. So who can really even be talking to God in the middle of a sin? You know, I mean, there might be times you come and you pray out to God after the consequences of sin, but when we're in the middle of doing wrong, we typically aren't seeking God. And I think that's why Jonah wound up where he was, because he wasn't talking to God anymore. God was even trying to talk to Jonah, but he wasn't listening, and he took off. And so he wound up where he shouldn't have been. And you might be in here today and you're thinking, okay, but you don't really know, Pastor Rob, where I am and the lonely, dark place that I am. God's not going to hear me from right here, right now. Did you hear that Jonah prayed to God in the belly of a fish? You don't get any darker and deeper and lonelier than there. And yet God heard him. God heard Jonah from the belly of that fish. I want you to see a couple of verses here, because God gives us reassurance throughout his word that, hey, I will hear you no matter how lonely or how far you have gotten. Look what he says here in Psalms 50, verse 15. He says, and call on me in the day of trouble. He didn't just say, call on me when things are going good. God says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Look what he says here in Hosea 5:15. The nation of Israel constantly found themselves away from God. He says, I will again return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. God says, I'm not going to do anything until you seek me. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. So we see that God will listen to us when we're in a place we never intended to be. He's always ready to hear. We see in Hebrews, it's not up here on the screen, but Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I will always hear you. I will be there. I'll never leave you. I will not forsake you. You just need to talk to me. If you want to remain faithful and serving, you need to be talking to God on a regular basis, because that is where the mind of Christ is able to enter you and flow through you and help you to see those opportunities to serve. You got to be talking to God. But number two is this. I want you to get this, because we see it here with Jonah. Jonah had an issue that led him to be far from God in the belly of a fish. He begins to talk to God as he begins to release his pride. If you're going to continue to serve, you have to let go of your pride. We all have pride. If you can't admit that in here today, it's going to be very hard for God to use you. We all have pride. It's in us. And Jonah's pride was a real issue. It caused him to run. You know, fast forward, Jonah winds up going to Nineveh. He does what God asked him to do. You know, he goes to these Gentiles. He's like, all right. And he goes, he tells them about God. They wind up repenting and turning and worshiping God. You would think Jonah would like celebrate, like, amen, an entire nation, God use me. No, he got mad. He said, God, see, I told you they would do it. He didn't want to see them turn. His pride was like, no, I don't want these people to be elevated up and know you. At least that's what it appears. His pride was in the way. And in Jonah chapter 2, though, verse 3, going back to what we were talking about, notice there comes a point when Jonah recognizes that he's not where he intended to be, and he releases himself, and he releases the pride in his heart for a moment. He says, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and all your waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast away from your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. The waters encompass me, even to my soul. The deep surrounded me. Weeds are wrapped around my head. And he goes down and it says, the fountains of the mountains and the earth and the bars was around me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. He recognizes God's work in his life. He recognizes his own pride and his need for God. We have to come to a point of recognizing that we have pride. When we pray to God and yet we're not willing to release the pride, we're going to be stuck in the same place. I remember many times in my own life, you know, anybody ever kind of done the whole thing with your prayer life with God? It's kind of like a bartering system. God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. All right? I'm not going to ask for hands because everybody's going to go up. Well, we've done that. And that might be a genuine prayer, but there's still pride in there because we're looking, hey, God, if I can get this, I'll do this. You're looking for yourself, and many times what winds up happening? We get out of whatever the situation is. It's because we recognize God, we begin to seek God, so we make the right choices that God desires for us to make. We might be freed from whatever that bondage is, and then we're like, okay, this is great, and then what do? We slip right back into it. Because we really didn't let go of the pride when we were seeking God. We were just, hey, I don't like this circumstance, let me get out of this one. Instead of, okay, God, I truly realize it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about what I want in life, it's about what you need me to do to reach others, to serve others. It's that pride that we all have. If you don't recognize it, I mean, just look at your childhood. Go back to elementary school, all right? I went to Spruce Creek Elementary here in town. And I remember, you know, and that day, and I'm sure, no matter how old you are. In fact, I was talking to my grandmother over here. She'll be 92 next week. And amen. You can give her a hand. That's a good accomplishment. I hope I can be half as healthy and vibrant as she is at 92. But so I'm going to say Mimi because that's what I call her. So Mimi even grew up here in Daytona Beach, born and raised here. Went to school. I was asking her, did you guys line up for like going to lunch and recess and stuff? You lined up outside before you went? She's like, oh, yeah. Asked her what elementary school she went to in town, and they just named the schools after the streets that they were on, so it's not there anymore. It was on Volusia, I think. But anyway, the funny thing is, it's the same thing. They would line up, and when they would line up, they would have a line leader, right? How many of you wanted to be the line leader when you were in elementary school? You all should raise your hands, because everybody did, right? Everybody wanted to be the line leader. I see some of you arguing and fighting. That's great. So, you wanted to be the line leader because there's that just inherent nature of, yeah, I want to lead. I want to be in charge. That's pride. That's pride. And it happens at the youngest level because it's part of our sin-cursed nature that we have. And we have to recognize that pride in order to deal with the pride. And when we recognize the pride, God's word has given us a solution to it. You know, what does it take to overcome your pride? The answer is this: choosing to follow the Holy Spirit. But the key word here shouldn't just be Holy Spirit. It should be choosing. Because it's a choice you make to follow the Holy Spirit. It has to be a choice that you purposely say, okay, Lord, I am going to surrender to your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what, even when Jesus was here, he said, hey, look, guys, I've got to leave. And the disciples were like, no, you can't go. And Jesus was like, no, you don't get it. I have to leave so that the Holy Spirit can come, the Comforter can come, so that he can guide you and instruct you and lead you. If I don't leave, he can't come, and you need that because you have a pride issue. And we need that Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, but we have to choose to do it. He's there. In fact, Paul teaches this to the church in the church of Galatia. Look up here at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Okay? What's he talking about? Walking, living, following the Holy Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the pride that we have, the desires of the flesh, the desire to lie when we want to cover something up and we don't want to be found out that we were wrong or we made a mistake, and so we lie. We've all lied at some point. Why did we lie? It wasn't for somebody else's benefit. It was for our benefit. Some of the husbands say, no, when my wife asks me if this looks okay, I tell her yes no matter what. That's for her benefit and yours, you know, be honest with you. You know, so lies are for our benefit. That's the pride saying, no, I want things to be good for me and comfortable for me. But he said, if I walk in the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill those lusts of the flesh, those prideful things. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Look what he says here. There's this opposition. He said, there's an opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're led, you're following the Holy Spirit, then you're not under the law. Those things aren't going to take you. The pride's not going to be an issue. We have to let go of our pride if we're going to be able to continue serving. We get burnt out many times because we're serving for the wrong reasons. We're serving for prideful reasons. That's why we get burnt out. Or we get comfortable in the situation that we're in, and we don't want to step outside and be out of our comfort zone, so we don't want to go after whatever it is that God's calling us to do to serve. That's what Jonah was struggling with. And Paul wrote of this struggle to the churches because he knew it was still an issue. It's a powerful message that Paul gives to the church. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead you with God's word, using other people, and by moving you internally to do things to help others to see who Christ is through that mind of Christ, serving and loving others. So these first two points are to help you to understand that these are the things that prevent me from faithfully serving. And if you look at yourself and you're like, man, I just don't know why I don't like to help people. Look at these. Are you talking to God regularly? Do you have a pride issue? But the third point, which I think is what we see that fuels Jonah to do what God's called him to do, is this. Maintain an attitude of thanksgiving. Maintain an attitude of thanksgiving. I think we are a nation that is a prime example of people who become ungrateful with so many things that we have. This week, we get to celebrate what? Thanksgiving. Some people have no idea why we celebrate it. They just love the food. It's a day to eat. I agree. You know? But Thanksgiving had a purpose. But Thanksgiving began way before the pilgrims met, you know, to celebrate their plentiful harvest and help from the Indians. I want you to get this. Maintaining an attitude of thanksgiving, maintaining the attitude of gratitude, gratefulness for what we have. Look what Jonah says here in verse 7. He's in that belly. He's been praying. He releases himself of his pride. In verse 7, he says, when my life was ebbing away, that means fading away. And I believe Jonah wasn't talking about just the moment that he was in the whale for those days. Jonah's life began ebbing away when he began not listening to God. When he began turning himself away and not seeking to follow God, his life began ebbing away. And he says, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. See, God heard him from that belly. He listened. In verse 8, he says, those who follow vain idols forsake their true loyalty. I think Jonah was being real. He was being raw. He was being open. He's like, look, man, I was seeking after some vain idols. I was seeking after some things that were not about you, Lord, but they were about me. And he says, verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of what, church? Thanksgiving. I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for to God. When we come to the point of true thankfulness, we see serving differently. We see it completely differently. When we begin to recognize our pride, our need for Christ, and the fact that it took Jesus coming to the earth and living a perfect life for 33 plus years, and then going to the cross where he would be brutally beaten and crucified, and then showed his power and authority by raising from the dead 3 days later, so that we could stand before God, not with our life and our account on display, but Jesus's, the one that we don't deserve. We could stand before God completely forgiven and seen as righteous because of what he did for nothing that we've done. What more do you have to be thankful for in life? The fact that you can have a life where you stand before God as an unrighteous person, but yet he counts you righteous because his son paid for your penalty and your through his sacrifice. And that's what we have to be thankful. That's what should motivate us to want to always serve. That should be the fuel in our tank that says, anybody that needs anything, I am there because Jesus already has done it all for me. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Going back to the idea of feeding your enemy, I'll take it a step further. Jesus washed his feet. He had the 12 there for the Last Supper. He didn't wait for Judas to leave to begin to wash the feet and have supper with them all. He ate with Judas. He gave the bread to Judas. He washed Judas's feet. He didn't have any part of him that said, I'll take care of everybody but this guy. He's got something he's going to do that's awful. It wasn't his mindset. And it's that heart of gratitude that leads to some incredible ministries. There's a ministry here in town that we as a church have supported now for a little over 2 years, Salty Family Services. And the directors of that ministry, Jeff and Francis, are here this morning. And I want you to hear a little bit about Salty Family Services. So we did a little quick video. So I want you to sit back and watch this just for a moment to let you know about Salty Family Services.
Hi, my name is Jeff Chason.
My name is Francis Chason, and we are both directors of Salty Family Services.
So Salty Family Services came to be in 2016. And since 2016, we have reached roughly about 1,100 families in Volusia and Flagler County. You know, Salty Family Services is a ministry of Salty Church, but it's not an exclusive Salty Church ministry. We have five partnership churches that we love to celebrate, and Crossroads is one of those partnership churches.
So on your chair, you will have a card that says Contact Me When. And that is our way of providing an opportunity for the body of Christ to come in and share with the ministry what are your talents, your treasure that you can offer these families in need. So we have been blessed to have about 300 volunteers right now that we can tap into when a family has a need. So it could be anything from a mechanic, somebody that is able to transport a family to maybe grocery shop or an interview, somebody that has an additional room available in their home and would consider having maybe a single mom and their child stay there temporarily until we can help them stabilize into a permanent place. We have people that are willing to provide gift cards for food or gas to these families, and even also volunteers that are willing to pick up the phone and process applications for assistance, be there when these families call for help and be the voice of hope and provide a listening ear and an understanding ear to these families that are absolutely desperate for connection.
We have a unique volunteer opportunity that we call mentors. So mentors can look a couple different ways. One is mentors through Salty Family Services go out into the community. Families that have called into our rescue station needing help, we help them with a financial need. And we partner that family that we help financially with what we call that mentor. So they go out into the community, meet with the families in their home once a week, all the way up for 3 months. One in-house mentor that we have right now is from Crossroads. And it's been a great partnership and relationship we've had with him. It's families that maybe aren't best equipped to go that whole 3 months with a mentor, but yet we still want to be able to make some kind of impact. Our mentors, in-house mentors, sit down with them for about an hour and just kind of go over life, what's going on with their life, possibly talk about budgeting ideas, and always, again, offering them prayer and an on-ramp to opportunities to get closer to God. And we've even had a person that was literally right next door to you guys at the apartment complex, and we were visiting them, and she was talking about, you know, as we unpacked some of the struggle in her life, and she was going through a point of stability, seeing stability, the conversation of church got brought up, and she was like always saying, I need to get back involved in church, but I have a transportation issue, where it's like, well, walking distance is right next door. And sure enough, she started coming here. So that was one that I remember very specifically, that I meet with the mentors every week, so I get updates on what's going on with each of their families. I remember celebrating that one. That was a de-church situation that was able to cross the street and come over to church. We can't thank enough Crossroads for the partnership that we've had for going on 2 years now. So actually, I think we're approaching over the 2 year mark. And not only just the generosity and the financial support that allows us to keep on reaching more families that are in need, but also to the embracing of being able to come here to be able to speak to a congregation and try to get believers involved in our cultural issues that are going on. You know, to get outside of the church walls and really to roll up their sleeves and to start trying to make a difference, not only for culture, but for the kingdom.
So you have an opportunity today to serve, to get involved, use your gifts and abilities. You have that card that you, when you came in, I'm gonna have you guys go ahead and stand up. This is Jeff and Francis, are right up here in the front row from Salty Family Services. And they're gonna be out in the lobby as soon as you walk out at the table there, so you can drop those cards off if you wanna get involved. I'm also gonna make mention, the mentor that they mentioned in the video is Greg Goss. He's sitting right back here in the back. Greg, I know you're not one big for attention, but you do stand out because you're a manly man. And but he does a fantastic job. I know Jeff brags on him as a mentor. And I don't know, Greg, if you're hanging out back there, if anybody has any questions of what that looks like, you know, maybe you can give firsthand experience of how you're involved with Salty. But look, between Anthony Stocking, Salty Family Services, we all have opportunities to serve in your own daily life, in your workplace, in your home. We have opportunities to serve everywhere. And it comes down to this. We must be looking to Jesus and allow a grateful heart to lead you to serving God by serving others. We want to be thankful for what Christ has done for us, and we want others to know who he is. And we do that by letting that mind rest in us and serve others the way Christ served us and why he's given to us. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then today, come find me, stop by one, see one of our leaders, grab one of us, and let us show you how you can have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ and know about the sacrifice that he gave on the cross for you. Amen, church. Amen. For all that he's done, it's the least that we can do. Let's pray.